When we talk about the family, Webster defines the family as a group of individuals living under one roof and usually under one head, one household. A group of persons or common ancestry, a clan, a people, or group of peoples regarded as derived, being derived or deriving from a common stock or a race. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures in Acts chapter 17 and beginning at verse number 26. Here the Bible said, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and we move and we exist. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are his children." You know, in society, we tend to minimize, or to maximize, rather, our differences. And we tend to polarize. We tend to separate ourselves. And we tend to put ourselves in different camps or clans. One person or one group thinks he or she is better than another or the other group. But believe it or not, we are more connected than we think. The message this morning is we are family. We are more connected than we think. We are family. I want to give you three basic points that will emphasize that thought. We are family because, even contrary to what many believe, we are family because we all originated from the same source. The Bible tells me that we all came from God's creation, amen? The Bible says in Genesis 1 and verse number 1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Nobody came from Mars. Nobody came from Pluto. We all got started here on earth. Amen? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And not only that, the Bible tells us that we had from the beginning, from the origination, the same parents. We all had Adam and Eve, amen? In Genesis 1, 26 through 28, the Bible says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He breathed, and this he created them. And again, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, 21 through 24, the Bible says, "And then the Lord God formed man of the dust," or from the dust of the ground, "breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being," or a living soul. "So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And then he took out of his ribs and closed up the flesh that of that place. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which the man had taken, which he had taken from the man and brought him, and brought her to the man. So God made from the dust of the ground man. God made Adam first. And then God took from Adam a rib. And then from that rib, he made woman. And so, I don't care how you cut it, I don't care what you think about it, we all came from dirt, amen? We all came from the same source. Adam came from the ground. We are a product of that which came from the ground, amen? And we all have our roots that go back to. Everybody's doing, you know, DNA, and everybody's doing ancestry. But don't forget to put Adam and Eve on your ancestry list, amen? Because we all came from them. And that has some powerful ramifications. That regardless of what we look like today, regardless of how tall we are, how short we are, regardless of what we speak, or what we know, we all came from the same place. I'm going to get a little deeper with this. Just hang on. Notice also, slide number 2 points out, as we talk about we all originated from the same source, God had to destroy the population of the world. The world became so evil, so bad, thinking only evil thoughts continuously, that God had to destroy the world. There were only 8 precious souls who were saved from that, and that was Noah and his wife and his 3 sons and their wives. Only 8 precious souls. And so then he had 3 sons. And the Bible tells us that Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So then let me make it clear. In these times, all of us came either from Shem, Ham, or Japheth. Amen. Let me read the Bible to you in case you don't believe. Genesis 9, 18 and 19. Now, the Bible says, now the sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These 3 were the sons of Noah. And from there, the whole earth was populated. As you look at that chart, it points out that from these 3, you got people who lived in Europe and Asia. That was Japheth. You got people who lived, who spread to, and it's in Genesis 10, 2 through 5. You got people who spread to Southwest Asia, Canaan, and Africa, and those were descendants of Ham. You have people who went to and spread to over time from Shem, who went to the Middle East. And so, from these 3, you have the population, you have the people that set forth the world as we know it today. Amen? Let me point out something. They didn't enter those regions looking different. Now, in most caricatures that you get, they show a yellow man, a white man, and a black man. But they didn't all go to those places looking different, because they all came from the same daddy, amen? They all came from the same mama. When you look at a family, you can see in that family the resemblance, and they look alike when it's all from the same daddy and the same mama. Isn't that right? Come on, church, talk to me this morning. That's why Jesus encouraged us to change the way we think about one another. The lawyer said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And of course, Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. And the bottom line, this is in Luke chapter 10, verse 29, where he said, "Who is your neighbor?" Then in Luke 10, 30 through 37, the story tells us of the Good Samaritan. And the bottom line is, anyone is your neighbor. Anyone who needs your help is your neighbor. Anyone who is next to you is your neighbor. Anyone who lives on this earth with you is your neighbor. Amen? You know, you think your neighbor is just the one that stay next door. And oh, by the way, I don't like the one on the left. I like the one on the right, and that's my neighbor. No, it don't work that way. Jesus is getting back to the reality of it, is that we are all humans from the same place. We are all from the same source. We all were created by God. And in that sense, we are the children of God. And that we ought to look at each other differently. Oh, the world has all of the divisions and all of the things that we do to polarize ourselves and to try to make ourselves better than the other. But that's not God's way. That's not how God planned it, and that's not how God created it. Let me give you another reason. We are family because we are all from one blood or one man. King James says one blood. The other versions say one man. It's going back to Adam. We are all from human blood. And I want you to know that the blood that is in us is precious. In Genesis 9 and verse 6, the Bible says, "Whosoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man." Again, the psalmist in Psalm 72, 14 said, "For he will deliver the needy when he cries for help, the afflicted also, and him who has no helper. He will have compassion on the poor and needy." And it goes on to say, "And the lives of the needy he will save. He will rescue their life from oppression and violence, and their blood will be precious in his sight." And their blood will be precious in his sight. I want you to know, we have that saying that says, well, he's not my brother because he don't look like me. He's not my brother because I'm lighter than him and he's darker than me. He's not my brother because he's a Democrat and I'm a Republican. We have all kinds of things to divide us. But I got news for you, whether he's a Democrat or whether he's a Republican, whether he is tall, whether he is short, whether he is black, whether he is white, whether he is orange, whether he is green, whatever color he is, he's your brother still, amen. He's your brother because we come from one blood, and that is human blood. The Bible says we are all from one blood or one man. As I read a little bit earlier in Acts chapter 26 or 17, verse number 26 through 28, Paul, as he came to Athens, saw all of these shrines that had been erected. And there was one even to an unknown God. And he grasped the moment to teach on that. Of course, he was teaching that the God that created the heavens and the earth does not dwell in temples made with hands. The God who is invisible, the God who is all-powerful, the God who is omniscient, the God who is everywhere at the same time does not dwell in temples made with hands. The God who is the creator of everything then can't be worshiped the way you worship your idols. You can't make anything that would be anywhere near what the real and true God is like. And so he says, don't even try. Or we shouldn't try. But here's what he did say. He says, and he made from one man, that's Adam, every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. And having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that's the chart that I just showed you, God determined where Shem, Ham, and Japheth would live. God determined where the earth would be populated. God determined that. The Tower of Babel had already happened. Languages were already confused. And because of that, that's why we have the differences of the languages from place to place. And I didn't drop this a minute ago, but I'm going to drop it now. People became different hues of color because of where they lived, not because of the fact they went there that color. That's why purposely I put three little men up there the same color. Because we have a tendency to want to say that there's some curse that put Ham down there and he's black. But that's not the way it was. That's not the way it was. The way it was is that we all came from the same daddy and mama. Amen. And because of the climate, because of the reaction to the climate and reaction within our bodies, the people in those various regions took on different characteristics. But it wasn't because God made us different. So again, we are family. I don't care if you don't like the way I look. I don't care if you think you're better than me. We are all family. Amen. We are all a part of God's creation in the way that God created us. And the folk that live in Europe are there because God put them there. And there's been a whole bunch of migration and all of that since then. I understand all that. We've got a big to-do going on now because folks are wanting to leave and come here to America. Only the Native Americans are the ones who are actually Americans, if you want to get down to it. We all came on somebody's boat. Amen. And then they invented the airplane. But the point I'm making this morning is that we are all family. We all count from the same source. We all are of the same blood. And we ought to, because of this, if we understand this, get to a level that is beyond where we are. That's in the world, and that's even in the church. Folks in the church are holding on to stuff they should not be holding on to. Misinformed by things that they don't understand. We are connected by blood. When you are born, you come into a family situation. In some of those families, there's a mother and a father. And of course, there's always a mother and a father because God planned it that way. But some are in the home, and as a union and as a unit. There are sometimes siblings, brothers and sisters in that home. Now, when you come into there as a little fella or a little girl, and you recognize that this other little person that's a little bit bigger than you, that's my brother or that's my sister. And throughout life, you believe that you guys are tight and close because you were born into the same family. Now, am I right about that? Some folks will even say, when it comes to outsiders, don't you know that blood is thicker than mud? Water or whatever they call it. Simply saying that I come from my mama and daddy, and if you didn't come from my mama and daddy, then you are not going to be treated, and you are not as tight and you are not as close as my brothers and sisters who come from my clan. Well, that's all right, but we belong to a bigger clan. And we're all connected by the same blood that way. I got a lesson tonight that I'll show you. Sometimes your brothers that was born into that clan will treat you worse than somebody else. You just have to understand that. But we should be tight. We should be close. Let me tell you this too, as I begin to wrap this lesson and bring it home. You know, as I mentioned, sometimes we're born into families, birth families. Well, some of those birth families have some challenges. Sometimes there is addictions, and sometimes there are abuse, and sometimes there's neglect that goes on in those families. Sometimes the children are pushed around, and sometimes the children don't have breakfast to eat, and sometimes the parents are laying out, passed out, and the children have to get up and get dressed and take themselves to school, get there on their own. Some birth families are not all that we would have them to be. But I wanted to, and let me say this too. To the credit and praise be to God, there are some birth families that children come up in, and man, it's so good they don't eat, they don't want to lunch off. They don't want to leave the nest. The parents are pushing them, and they're like, hey, I like my room. You know, mom takes care of my bed, you know. So I understand that. There's some good families, amen. And praise be to God for those. But I came to just tell you this. Again, because of God, we can be in a better family through Jesus Christ. Whether your family was dysfunctional or whether your family was so good, man, you didn't want to even leave home, and you keep going back to get some of mama's banana pudding. There's a better family through Jesus Christ. And you can choose your spiritual family. Our birth family, we had no choice. It was all up to mom and daddy. But our spiritual family, we can choose to come into it. Notice what the Bible says in Galatians 3, 26 through 29. It says, for you're all children or sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, notice this, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. The whole Jewish faith was built on Father Abraham. Abraham is the link to Christ and our salvation. But notice what it says. And of course, the Jews were very much into, we come from Father Abraham. And they could go back and say, you know, Abraham was had this son, and after this son was that son. And they could quote their lineage right down to their mother and father. But notice this scripture says that if you are baptized into Christ, you clothe yourself with Christ, and not only that, you become descendants of Abraham in a spiritual sense. The best family, the greatest family, the family that will live forever, the family that has the best daddy, the family that has the best elder son, the family that has the Holy Spirit to comfort and take care of us, the best family that we can become a part of is a family, the spiritual family of God. The Bible says again that we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, the Bible says, remember, you know, sometimes we need to just think back, amen? Remember that at that times you were separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been made near by the blood of Jesus. We used to be outsiders. We used to be just looking in. We used to be not a part of the commonwealth and not a part of being able to call off all of those genealogical things. But now we can claim Abraham as our father in Christ Jesus. The Bible points out again what the blood of Christ has done in Acts 20 and verse number 28, pointing out to the Ephesians elders that they were to take heed over themselves and the flock over the which the Holy Spirit had made them shepherds, and that they were to feed the flock or the church which he had purchased with his own blood. Christ shed his blood so that you and I might be a part of this great spiritual family. The Bible says in Romans 3 and 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And it goes on to say, and being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith, that was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over sins previously committed. God, because of the blood of Christ, passed over the sins from those in the past. The blood of Christ, when it was shed on Calvary, went cleansing backwards and it went cleansing forward. The blood of Jesus Christ has had that kind of effect. We are so grateful, and we should be so grateful and thankful that we have been washed, or that you have an opportunity to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And in the church, that's why it's so important. It's so important that we get in contact with the blood of Christ. And the only way that we get in contact with the blood of Christ is when we're baptized. And then we come to that point again, to where we're all in one spiritual family. Why? Because we have been connected by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ saves us, and it is for the remission of our sins. Colossians 1 and 20, the Bible says, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, O God, got it all together with Jesus Christ and his blood. Peter speaks this way, points out in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, but with precious blood, with precious blood as a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed with precious blood. Not just any old blood, but precious blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. And whether you understand it, and I hope you do now, or not, we are all family. The person next to you is your brother. The woman next to you is your sister. The person you meet on the street is your brother and your sister. If we all understood that, we would treat each other entirely different, because God has made us to be connected. In the church, we are family, and the Bible tells us how we ought to treat one another. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says, do not sharply rebuke an older man. And that's the right translation. King James says elder, but here it said older man. Treat older people gently. Treat them with respect. Honor them. Lift them up. Pay attention to them. Says, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers. Why would you have animosity towards your brother in Christ? Why would you be competing, and why would you be trying to hurt your brother or your sister in Christ? Treat one another like family. And he says, to the older women as mothers. You know, it's a little different today, but a child growing up in a home in the past, you knew how to treat mama and daddy. If you were growing up and your mouth got to running too much, you had a hand that was in your mouth, and it was probably a backhand, amen? So we learn. See, you know, parents had different tactics back then. I understand. A kid got, whoo, wow, I'm not going to say that again. I'm going to watch my mouth. You know, we learned that way. Now, parents are a little more loving, and they hug you and do all this stuff today. But you better learn the difference between a parent, a mother, and a father. Amen? And you treat them the right way. Our parents just made sure. And it also says, and sisters, notice this, younger women as sisters, and I don't want to leave this part out. Now, let me say this first. You know, some people come into church and they're just trolling. They're just trolling. Trolling is a fishing term. They're just on the prowl. They're trying to catch something, okay? They're trying to catch younger sisters. They're trying to catch, you know, someone. Some brothers come into church, man, and they're like piranhas. What did it say? Younger women as sisters, and then just in case you ain't got no sense, it says in all purity. In all purity, amen? What does that mean? We are family. We are family even in this big universe, this world of ours, this earth that we live on. I don't care if you go to China and you meet someone, that's your brother, amen. I don't care if you go to Africa and you meet someone, that's your brother or your sister. Wherever you go, you got brothers and sisters that God created just like you. But on the other hand, there is a very special family. There's the best family that you could ever be in, and that is the spiritual family of God. And we ought to love one another. We ought to be there for one another. And we ought to understand that we are family. Christ's blood is thicker than water, thicker than mud, and thicker than anything else. And so we ought to be standing up for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Standing up because we're locking arms and linking arms. Why would we let one brother or sister sink when we are family? I can go on and on, but that's my lesson. If you're here this morning, I want you to know that if you want to be in God's family, the spiritual family, and let me just say this. From the very beginning, God had the spiritual family in mind. All of those generations and all of those years coming down was for the spiritual family. If you're here this morning and you're not in God's spiritual family, if you're not in his church, you have not been baptized, I want you to first believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want you to not only believe that, but be willing to make a change in your life. It's a lot of stuff that we say we believe. But when somebody says there's a fire in the building, you believe and get out of the building. Amen? We need to believe and act on what God has told us to do. Not only come believing, but repenting of your sins. Having a change of mind so that you can change the way you've been acting. So that you can change the direction that you've been going in. And confess Christ before men. If you are ashamed of Christ, guess what? He's going to say, I'm not going to say anything about you either. But guess who's going to be on the losing end? If you don't confess Christ, Christ is still Christ. Amen. But if he don't confess you, then hell will be your home. So who's on the losing end? You and me, if we don't confess Christ. You must be buried with him in baptism. That's the only way you can contact the blood. That's the only way your sins can be forgiven. And that's the only way you can be added to his spiritual family, the church. This morning you have an opportunity to be a part of the church. The church of Christ, the church that belongs to Christ. If you'll come this morning and give your life to Jesus Christ, then you can become a part of that great spiritual family that will live on throughout eternity with God. If you're here this morning, you need prayer in whatever situation you're in, I want to encourage you to come as we together stand and sing.